Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Back on track here in our study of Romans. This passage of Scripture, along with the one that we preached 2 weeks ago, they're not passages that we really get excited about, but they are passages that I believe every believer needs to have tucked in their belt. You need to know where this is at. And you need to be ready to go here when someone challenges the existence of God, the power of God in creation, and how in the world did this all get to be such a mess? How many are seeing our world is in a mess? Well, this passage of Scripture outlines for us from the Apostle Paul truth of how everything progressed to the point where we are at today. We're going to study this morning verses 21 to 32. But I want to back up to verses 18 to 20 because this kind of hangs onto that passage. Paul says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Wow. I say, wow. They will not be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know that you existed because of creation. Paul says God created all things and he revealed himself in that creation to the point that men are without excuse of believing in him. You understand how powerful that is in terms of how it frames mankind and eliminates all the excuses, because every one of us live and observe the creative work of God. You know, there are two main streams of creation apart from the creative work of God. The one that is getting the most attention today is the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory says that the universe came into being from a single, unimaginably hot and dense point more than 13 million years ago, and it did not occur in an already existing space. Rather, it initiated the expansion and cooling of space itself. So it says, out of nothing, an explosion took place, and out of that explosion and then the evolution that followed, we have what we have here today over the course of millions of years. This then was also kind of put into question by a man named Stephen Hawking. How many have heard of him? He had ALS and talked through a machine toward the end of his life. Considered a foremost scholar. His alternative is that the universe has always existed in some form and evolved to what is known today. One of the reasons why Stephen Hawking was there, for one thing, he's a physicist and also a mathematician, and there is a reality that is left aside by both of these forms of creation. And that is, There is a constant need for an unknown element. There always has to be an unknown element in each of these in order to make their theories work. For instance, in what other circumstance can chaos become order without a third element in place? Now, I'm not trying to be overly thoughtful on this, but I think it's important for us to realize at least a basic concept here, that chaos does not become order without something, another element, such as knowledge being added into it, or an example being added into it, because order must take form. Chaos has no form. So the very reality upon which they are basing their truth does not exist without some other element in being in place. And some will acknowledge that. They just say, I don't know what the other piece is. I do. Our passage today, Paul shows the degradation of mankind who reject the truth of God, which is clearly seen in his creation, to the point where man is without excuse before God. Three important things to remember. It's important to realize that Paul is speaking here of mankind as a whole. Now, this is extremely important when we get down and he starts defining some of these points. In other words, he is not pointing a finger at just an individual sin or a person of sin. He is speaking of the whole of mankind and the degradation of mankind, or man becoming more and more evil. Secondly, the passage is particularly troublesome to those who are engaging or approving of those who engage in the practices mentioned by Paul, to the point where just the mention of Romans chapter 1 in certain circles today will elicit a greatly emotional response. And I'll place this on the table because Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is dealing with homosexuality. The third thing is, be careful writing off this passage as cultural. Paul is relating the progression of degradation from the beginning of creation to man. The things that we see going on today have been around a long time. Right? In the days of Noah, the very thoughts of men were on evil continually. In other words, they were motivated by evil. And God saw it and destroyed the earth. Washed it, if you will, with water. Sodom and Gomorrah, how many remember that story? Remember Lot? He was camped outside or inside the city. The angel of the Lord came and got him. Had to pull him out. What a lesson that there is. Because that city of Sodom and Gomorrah had so degraded, so diminished in its purity, if you will, that God said it's going to be destroyed. And he took hold of Lot. He said, I cannot destroy the city with you in it. And he had to eventually take hold of the hands of Lot and his family and pull them out. They were so attached. Even though Lot himself was not participating in the sin, he was still so attached to that city. That says to me that just where Paul goes in our passage this morning, he was not participating himself, but he was somewhat, by his very presence in that city, approving of those who did it. There's a lot to learn in this passage. Not to say that we'll all learn it, Where's your heart this morning? Are you open to what God wants to speak into it? Again, this will be one of the most powerful passages that you can have in your heart, in your mind, to be able to call upon as you're talking to individuals who do not know the Lord. Men are without excuse. You see, we can ask them, so what do you think of creation? It's a good way to tell whether or not they truly believe in God. What do you think of creation? How did it all come to be? A good step off for us, because that's how God revealed himself to mankind. Amen. All right. Let's see here. Although they knew God. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Paul's making an affirming statement here of what he had just written about man finding God in God's creation, so that men are without excuse. Since God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen, and since they have been understood from what has been made. They neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. I'm just curious this morning, how many of you as believers, that when you see a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, or you know, the magnificence of God's creation, that you stop and you go, oh, thank you, God. Do you? If you're not practicing that, if you're a believer, I encourage you. Because see, that is affirming, if you will. That is affirming our recognition that God created the heavens and the earth. You see, because in this world that is trying everything they can possibly do to get that away from us, because, you see, the enemy knows this. So if he can make these guys sound so smart, so intelligent, that you go, well, you know, I just don't have the education that they do, so they must be right. It must have just went bang like this and it all happened. Come on, be smarter than that. Realize that God created the heavens and the earth. Now don't get into a debate over what you don't know. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 are not there to tell us how God created. They are there to tell us that he created. And there's a difference. Because there's not a one of us in here who can speak to how God took nothing and made something. It doesn't exist in us. So stay in the territory that we're given and give all the glory to the Lord. Look what God has done. Even our own human bodies, as men are learning more about the human body. I was listening to a doctor the other day who's just done some research on how the human brain reacts to the organs in our bodies. And the messages that are sent from the brain to the organs to tell them what to do. For that liver to be able to wash the blood. For our kidneys to process fluids. And it's amazing. The upper intestines that work the food and take the nourishment out of the food. The stomach that stores it until it's ready to move on into that place where we're added the nutrients in our bodies. Of how our lungs receive air in, sort out the stuff that is good, breathe out the stuff that is bad. All of that is being done by this computer that the Lord put inside our heads that is controlling all of it. And you know what? I didn't have to tell it. I didn't have to go, okay, breathe. When's the last time you said, thank you, Lord, for letting me breathe without thinking about each breath. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my heart beating. Huh? Thank you, Lord, for making this the way you made it so that it processes food and I can enjoy the food in my mouth, but then it goes on into my body and pulls the nutrients out that the rest of my body needs and then flushes out the stuff it doesn't need. Thank you, God. See how easy it is, though, for us to step into the ungodly and the godless world and step in and just take it for granted. Oh, look at me. I've lost 10 pounds. Look at me. We're so proud of ourselves because we've done the least of things. And yet God has made each and every one of us a creative miracle. It should be passing through our lips constantly, giving him glory and praise and thanks. See how easy it is for us to lose the reality of his creative work? The result, when they failed to glorify him and to give him thanks, the result, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Let me define that just a little bit. That word thinking became futile. Thoughts, directions. The word there means to make worthless, to cancel out or be foolish. In other words, men move from the brilliance, if you will, the awesome brilliance of God in his creative work to foolishness. I don't know whether God laughs or not, but I can almost hear the angels laughing. Every time another scholar stands up and says that this whole thing came into existence by a big bang. Come on. You think, how dumb can you get? Hey, listen, they're calling us stupid because we believe in God, so I'm going to call them stupid for believing in the Big Bang Theory. I believe that there is a God. I believe that he created all things. I believe that he saw man in his helpless estate and sent his son into the world to die on a cross so that mankind could live with him forever. I believe that. You can call me stupid if you want to. But I've got more truth to stand on than you ever will have without God. Their thinking became worthless. Their foolish hearts were darkened, he says. That is, without insight or direction, to darken and deprive of light. It's like they took the things that were in the light and able to be seen and moved them over into the darkness. Now, I have my own theory about that. I believe that man moves things into the darkness that they don't know or don't understand so that nobody can refute them. Get things dark enough and you can't explain it away. Move it into the light and all of a sudden then it starts getting questioned. That's the reason why the individual who does not believe in God, who has never accepted the fact that God created the heavens and the earth, but then they get into their hopeless state of their life. They can't deal with life. They have no hope. They have no future. They have nothing in life. And they come up against the gospel message, and it shines a light upon them. And they reach out toward the light. They reach out toward the hope. Something that is visible. Something that can be seen. And before you know it, they're seeing God in his creative work. And they say, maybe this is possible. Because see, the missing elements of science are all found in the Lord. Knowledge, wisdom, and all the missing pieces are in him. In other words, when man moves away from God as creator, he moves into a realm void of the light of truth. Now hear this, please. because I have seen young people who grew up in church, who had the light of the Lord in their life. They understood the creative work of God. But then they began to walk in the darkness of this world until they extinguish the light of truth, thinking themselves to be wise. Paul says they became fools. I have to tell you this morning that the darkness can swallow the light if the light is not protected. And you, the way that it happens is that you move far enough away from the light that you end up in darkness. This is what he says. Although they claim to be wise, look at verse 22. Although they claim to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. We all know what he's talking about there, right? He's talking about idolatry, idols. Have you ever tried to talk to someone who presented themselves as knowing, as a knowing expert, but you realized they knew nothing? Huh? You see, I think I put that down there. There we go. Science leaves out what God proclaims. God proclaimed intellect based upon theory, which they defend to their death until they're forced to change their minds because of new facts. We've seen this with COVID. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. Science tells us this is the way it is. This is the way it is. Until 2 weeks later when they change their minds. And now this is the way it is. This is the way it is. I'm so glad. I have the truth of God's word and I can stand on it. It never changes. We change. We change in our reflection on it. We change in our vision of it. But God's word never changes. That should be a lesson to us. Because see, we want to alter the truth of the word in order to accommodate the life that we want to live. And then we start moving away from the light and into darkness. They became fools. Just, it's not that we as believers should be calling all of them fools. Okay? But Paul wants us to realize that those who are proclaiming to be so wise but are leaving out God, they are fools. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The proverb says. We need to understand to embrace the reality of God is the beginning of wisdom. A fool is one who insists on being correct while being wrong. From time to time, people have given me their extensive thought on some prophecy. I've been given manuscripts an inch tall. And you read the first page, and their premise is completely wrong. And so to read the rest of it is nonsense. Huh? See, really, folks, that's where we can begin. See, I believe that real science and Christian faith flow together. Real science. In other words, the things that truly exist will flow right along with the Word of God. It is when man has gotten in and put in their theory and stood upon that theory until something else comes along and then they'll change their theory. People would rather believe the lie, the unsubstantiated, than by faith to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. See, why is it such a big thing? Because the enemy knows that it all backs up and stands on that. You cannot embrace the sacrifice of Jesus or understand what he has done for us until you accept that God created the heavens and the earth. We are created beings by God. So he knows how we're put together and he knows what we need. And he has sent to us exactly what we need to live our lives. In their foolishness, they exchanged the glory of God for images. And then he says, like mortal man, like birds, like animals, even reptiles. The foolishness of idolatry. Martin Luther said this of idolatry. We easily fall into idolatry, for we are inclined thereto by nature. And coming to us by inheritance, it seems pleasant. You say, well, you know, I don't have any idols around in my house. I think this quote brings it a little closer to home by Balthasar Morales. All men are idolaters, some of fame, others of self-interest, and most of pleasure. Frames it differently, doesn't it? The incredible need and desire that we have for self-interest and pleasure definitely puts us into the realm of idolatry. As a matter of fact, Paul said to the church, or to Timothy, he said, in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It's idolatry. Therefore, God gave them over. This is one of the most incredible statements in all of the Word of God. Therefore, God gave them over. That word there means to give over, to deliver over, to give, deliver over the power to someone. In other words, he takes his hand off. His desire to guide off. His protection off. God gives man his way. That's what he's saying. God gives man his way. When our self-interest and our way of doing things trumps God's, it is idolatry, and the Lord takes his hand off. Now, folks, listen, this should concern us, even as believers. How many of you this morning want the blessings of God on your life? Some of you don't. Well, many of you do. Praise the Lord. If we want God's blessings on our life, then we have to walk in obedience to him. We could trace down several scriptures, and I could back that up. But the truth is, if you want God's blessings on your life, then you need to be obedient to him. If you follow the track of darkness or of wicked men or of men of self-interest and leave off God, you're not going to walk in the blessings of the Lord. Why? Because when you take off on your own journey away from God, leaving him, then God lets you. But he does not bless your sin. He does not bless your disobedience. So you're walking away from his blessings. It's a dangerous place, but it's also really a very lonely place. But you see, this is how. Now, when I make this statement, I'm talking apart from mental disorders and struggles and this kind of things, but it is truly the reason why many Christians today are dealing with depressions and difficulties and some even committing suicide. Why? Why? You know, we ask that question, we say, why did this person, how come they were so helpless and so hopeless? The answer is that they moved far enough away from God, doing it their own way, that they were not under the blessing of His protection. Church, this is very real. It's a dangerous thing for us to walk out of the hand and the protection of the Lord. You say, well, you know, I know these people, they're not serving God, and they just live like the devil and everything, and it just seems like that they are so blessed. I encourage you, read the Psalms, because David talks about this over and over again. He reveals this. He said, it just looks like that they're just, everything's happening good for them. But then he brings it around. He says, but I know that there is a day awaiting. And then he usually gives an affirmation before he ends the psalm that says, but I will trust in you, Lord. I will walk with you, Lord. Don't be making comparisons to other people, but I'm telling you at a very personal level, if you want to walk in the blessings of the Lord, if you want His peace that passes all understanding, if you want His joy unspeakable that is full of glory, if you want His presence in your life, then do not choose to walk after darkness, but choose to walk after the light of God's glory. Equip yourself with the truth of this book. Let it burn down inside of you. See, how many times do I need to read it? You read it enough times till it's in you. And then you quote it back as many times as you possibly can to keep it fresh in your mind and before your eyes. Why? Because if not, then you start chasing after the things of the world because they look so shiny. They attract us. They pull us in. That's the way the enemy, he buffs them all up and makes them look so pretty. But the reality is they destroy us. They destroy the creation that God has made. Paul lists three progressions in verse 25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. In the desire of their heart for sexual impurity, degrading of their bodies with one another, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Now let me caution you just for a moment, if I can, out of love, truly. You see, it is dangerous again as believers when something in this world holds so much attraction that it takes you away from your time with the Lord. You start on this progressive journey of degradation. I think every one of us in here have been a Christian for a while. We know that. We know that understanding. We distance ourselves from our devotional life. We distance ourselves from the body of Christ. And by the way, the body of Christ being together is God's idea, not just ours. Because you see, we serve one another. We feed off of one another. We encourage one another. We watch over one another. And you can only do that when you are in community together. So this is God's design. Why? To keep us in the light. Because the world of darkness is pulling on us continually, making it look so attractive. Just come over here. Have a bit of pleasure for a season. Oh, yeah, it doesn't last. You're going to have to do it again and again and again and again and again and again. Because the pleasures of this world only last for a very short period of time. And as we indulge in those pleasures of the world, they become more attractive and we want them and need them more. Before we know it, we are serving them rather than serving the Lord. Paul says that nothing can take me out of the Lord. Romans chapter 8. Nothing can steal me, but I can walk away. I can turn my attention away and go into the darkness. We need to understand that, church. We need to understand how all of this, the bottom fell out of all this, how it got into the mess that it became or is, and realize that we are not exempt. As long as we're in this world, we're still going to be tempted. Tempted to what? Follow self. Follow pleasures. Let's see, where are we at? Because of this, God gave them over. Verse 26. That's what he says. Because of this, God gave them over, listen, to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Understand this, see, the wages of sin. You choose to walk in these things that God has said are sinful, then there are penalties and wages that come along with them. Sin is sin, folks. Whether a sinner commits a sin or whether a Christian commits a sin, sin is sin. My Bible says that it takes us out of the communion relationship that we have with the Lord. When we embrace sin, when we embrace worldliness, we are moving ourselves away from God, not toward God. You know, there were two things in ancient Rome that were priorities: freedom and pleasure. Freedom and pleasure. The individuals were demanding the right to do what they wanted to do because they enjoyed doing it. Doesn't that sound like our world today? Our country? I know many fear communism and some of these other things. I fear what can happen to us from within more than I reckon with what can happen from somebody coming and getting us. I'm so concerned over our nation. I'm so concerned over the church because, you know, well, I don't know if you have read this, but the United Methodist Church is splitting over things that Paul talks about here in this passage. Let me finish this because of our time. I want us to be able to conclude this morning with communion. But listen to the rest of this. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips and slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also, listen, approve those who practice them. When I hear that the church is embracing practices that God says, when he gave man over to the degradation of sin, this is what man did, and I hear the church embracing those things in the name of the Lord. I realize that the church as a whole is in a mess. The very things that we should be running away from, we're running to, or at least embracing them, approving of them, so that people will like us. It's costing the church. He gave them over to a depraved mind. Although they knew God, although they claimed to be wise, they rejected the God of creation. Therefore, God gave them over. He gave them the freedom to indulge in all that their broken minds and godless spirits could conceive. How did the thing get in such a mess? Because man chose their own path rather than the path of God. And it's not just true for the lost and then those who are walking in darkness, but it's true for those who have the light. The shiny things of this world look like they will offer us so much pleasure. I must have them. But we don't realize those things are taking us away from the Lord. Why do you think that Jesus said such strange statements as it's impossible or it's next to impossible for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God? And the disciples said, well, then how can anybody be saved? And what was Jesus' response? With men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. See, this is the reason why the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in the 11th chapter, he said, when you come to the table of the Lord, let a man, let a woman examine themselves. So, but I'm saved. I believe that Jesus saved me. Yes. But how much of the world are we allowing into our lives? How far away from truth are we willing to walk? Because, see, Paul realized, God realizes that in our humanity, we can't serve both God and this world. You can't. So you're going to surrender one or the other. Either you're going to give yourself wholly over to God and walk in His blessings and His joy and His peace, or you'll do it the way the world is and folk gets empty. It may look good for a little while. I will not deny you the truth. Sin is fun. Sin is pleasure. But it only lasts for a little while. Amen. And when you and I, who know the truth, move in that direction, we're moving away from the best to the worst of it. God gave them over. I don't want to be in that crowd. I want to be in the crowd that is running toward God. Oh yeah, in my humanity, sometimes I'll scoot over here. But Lord God, bring me back quickly. Come on, church, can you be honest for just a moment? We know that every single one of us find our pleasures in this world, but just know the Lord is telling us they're dangerous because those are things that God has given over. Chase the things that God has ordained. Like Peter says, be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. That is separate. But oh, I'll be weird. So, you'll have the blessings of God on your life. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we get it down into our hearts. The soil sometimes gets crowded in there with all the cares and the stuff of this world. Help us to realize how important that this first chapter of Romans is, and may we read it over and over and over again until your Holy Spirit has planted it deep inside of us. May we know the dangers that exist of playing this world's game. And may we chase after you. Oh, God. I know that there is not a single person in this room, Master, who doesn't want to be in heaven with you. But I pray, oh Lord, that they would want to be here on earth with you right now. I pray that you would show them the wisdom of being on earth with you rather than the foolishness of men who say you don't exist. I pray over our young people who are in the thrust of decision where their faith is in flux right now because they're trying to decide, do I accept mom and dad's God? Or do I follow after my friends who are godless? Help them, O Lord, to realize the wisdom in creation, to see you. The beauty, the excellence, the order, the truth. You're real. And you love them. I pray this morning if there's one person in here that doesn't know you as Savior, that they would realize out of love for your creation, you sent Jesus. He came and died so that we could have life and have it to its fullest. And may this be the day. May this be the day. Praise you, Lord. Thank you.